This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes, it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. People joining us on the Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you can see a feature. Yeah, Johnny Lupinacci on location.
Mobile studio, Tim. Mobile studio.
You look great, man. You're in
it's good to be. Yeah, it's good to be here with you. You know, it's a Tuesday. It's summer activity. Full Justin, because once school, you know, anyone out there, you know.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Dance class. Who's got swim lessons? Who's got what? So, you know, I'm on location outside the dance studio today. But, Tim, I couldn't miss today because it's one of my favorite guests that we've had on in recent shows. We've had some great ones, but one of my favorites. And so, you know, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So here I am.
There you are. And I'll tell you what, though, before we get into that great guest, you know, one of the things that's awesome, Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who, you know, they went after the state of Wisconsin to end that crazy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And yeah, he's back. Jonathan Gurko. President, co-founder, the Association for College and University Educators. People are like, wait, I remember that name. Yeah, Jonathan, we're talking about your book, Jonathan, Publicization. First of all, how's the book doing? And, you know, I got to see you in Minneapolis, got to see you talking to people. Publicization, love the concept, love the new word. How's the book doing, Jonathan?
Book's doing great, and I am thrilled to be back. Great to see you guys. And Tim, it was a while to meet you in person in Minneapolis just about 10 days ago at our National Higher Education Teaching Conference. Nothing else like it out there.
Nothing at all like that. And I say, we are here tonight to really tell that story, the Association of College and University Educators. In fact, you know, I'm going to do the intro that I had set for you, Jonathan. He's the mastermind behind AQ. That's the Association for College and University Educators, the rock stars of teaching excellence. Their mission, transform higher education, or the every instructor in higher ed to be a kick-ass teacher. With over 40,000 instructors already amped up by the AQ courses, it's clear effective teaching changes everything. Jonathan Gurko, AQ, Busted Pencils, together. Teaching matters in colleges and universities. Is that what you're here to tell us?
Well, I'm going to dramatically take my glasses off for our YouTube viewers. Tim, Johnny, we're all professors. And should we share the secret that's not so secret?
I don't know.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, the secret that's not so secret is we got 1.5 million amazing professors in this country. They're working hard. They're mission driven. They're committed to this, to our students. We're trained. We're world-class researchers. We're scholars. We serve our institutions. But guess what? Very, very few of us were ever taught how to teach.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the point, right? You think about that. Now, Johnny and I might have a little bit, and even you, Jonathan, having background in, quote, teaching. But to imagine anybody else, you're saying, I was in college, and you know, let's create the stereotypical image of I had this history professor who just talked to us in and up and down, dates, names, just kept throwing them at us. And you're sitting there going, I was wondering, like, why, how did this guy, quote, become a teacher? And the reality, though, Jonathan, is that this is something. It's a dirty little secret, but maybe too the exposure to realizing this and nothing to actually critique the history professor. But their training, as you said, to get to the level to be able to teach history at the college level, it was doing really great history research, really good production, putting together, you know, a history book, a history paper. The ability to teach it was just the assumption that when you became Dr. So-and-so in history, teaching was just given. And for the longest time, that's been the status quo of preparation for learning to teach in college. Is that oversimplifying it, Jonathan?
It's really not. I mean, what a flawed assumption, because I know something so well, I can teach it. You know, you both have lived your lives in K-12 and ed school. It's a body of practice. It's got decades of research behind it. Higher ed has its own 40-year literature that identifies what is effective teaching that motivates, engages, deepens learning, retention, completion. And yet it's absent from way too many classrooms through no fault of the professor, because when you're in your PhD training, I've heard the story, oh, I had to take this professional development, but I didn't tell my advisor because it's taking time away from my dissertation research. Here's another fact. Studies show for every additional hour a professor spends on research, that's correlated with an increase in pay. And for every additional hour spent on teaching and becoming a better teacher, a decrease in pay. Mm-hmm. How backward is that?
Whoa. Johnny Lupinacci, you're nodding away on that.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? Tim, the example I always share is when working with college level educators, like helping people like Jonathan said here, who I always use example, like the world's leading expert in plastic coatings. They spent the last, 25 years being the world's leading expert in plastic coatings. You know, I've spent, Tim, you can relate to this, Jonathan, too. We spent the last 20 years being experts of how to be a great teacher. Yeah. So I'm essentially working with someone who's the world's leading expert, now thrown in to the expectation being that they teach, Tim, like Jonathan, you and I do. And it's just not an expectation that's realistic. So we're mediating all the time. And Jonathan, you're right, because I've yet to meet a professor who says, I don't really need to be a great teacher. You know, they want to be good teachers, but it is a lot of practice. They need a lot of support. And it's not part of what you focus on when you're becoming the world's leading expert in X, Y, or Z. I mean, think about like a molecular biologist, I would hope hasn't spent the last 20 years dedicated to just the craft of teaching. Yeah. They have to be in the lab being the expert on molecular biology.
Look, and we want those experts. We need those research. Yep. That keeps America innovating, researching, the leader in so many, arguably every field. And we shouldn't put all the problems of higher ed at the professor's feet. That is just wrong. It's it has happened way too much in K-12, but it does show in the stats. And let me throw some out.
Go for it.
Our national college completion rate of students going there for the first time, these are the most excited, the most motivated to go, is 50%. When you look at community college and baccalaureate grad rates, we're 14th in the world for college educated. USA, we're 14th. We're 14th. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And public confidence is at an all-time low, because you come home at Thanksgiving and your drunk uncle says, hey, how's college? And you say, this guy's brilliant. I have no idea what he's saying. So we've got a big quality problem, a quality opportunity to tackle. And that's what my company AQ has been doing steadily, relentlessly for 10 years now.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 is the number. our guest, Jonathan Gurko. He is the co-founder and current president of the Association of College and University Educators. AQ is the acronym there. Talking about, you know, where do college professors learn to teach? And the answer that we're coming up with is, well, there is no real where they learn to teach, because the learning to teach at best has been assumed, potentially. Is it, as Johnny said, you know, the foremost expert in was, quote, kind of given that was your credential for being a teacher, because you were the foremost expert in plastics, foremost expert in you know, linear algebraic equations, foremost expert. But there was no training during that process of becoming a professor to how do you communicate what you're the biggest expert in, so that people are sitting out there who are hopefully not just listening to you, because that might be one of the issues facing you, but that they're comprehending, they're downloading it, they're getting passionate about it. Because Jonathan, as you pointed out there, the reality of thinking about that, you know, so it's like a 50-50 shot that if I go to college, I'm going to actually graduate, is kind of what you're saying, going like, whoa, wait a minute, that's not good. Is it because college is so hard, or can colleges and universities step up to the plate here at this moment, like AQ is trying to do? And I give you the hint, pushing a movement of saying great teaching is what higher education is about. It is about research. It is about service, but it is about great teaching, because the students who come and sit in front of us, they're there to learn, and we as faculty are there to serve that knowledge quest of families and students. And so how we put that forward, how we articulate and put in action what it means to be sitting in front of me when I'm a college professor and you're a student, that, you know, that unwritten contract, what are we going to do over the semester? My job, you know, could be seen as saying, you know, I'm hopefully communicating knowledge to you. It wasn't a guarantee all this time. It's busted pencils, fully leaded. Our guest, Jonathan Gurko, AQ, college teaching, yeah, it can be a lot better, and we're going to get into it when we get back. There it is. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And truly tonight, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Jonathan Gurko, co-founder and current president of the Association for College and University Educators. Yeah, there's an association connected to those who are college professors. They're also educators. They're the ones teaching. Jonathan, AQ, though, 10 years old only. I think that in its sense, a young organization. I mean, higher education, the whole idea, the professoriate has been around for a long time. What in the world? 10 years now, a commitment to teaching excellence. Tell us about the founding of AQ and how that came about.
Yeah, well, look, it's no accident that we picked an acronym to just slip our way into the alphabet soup of organizations. Sounds like we were founded by John Dewey. And look, 10 years of a startup, it might as well have been founded by John Dewey 100 years ago, the years it's taken off my life. But let me answer your question, and I love how you ended the last segment about a movement around quality excellence in every class. You know, you turn the clock back 10 years, more than 10 years now, and national completion goals for college come out. We need them for citizenship. We need them to meet the economic need. And this whole student success agenda gets launched across higher ed. But here's the thing. It largely has focused on access, right? Think better placement and trying to get FAFSA right and transfer. Affordability. Think of all the debt relief and scholarships and state action on that and support. Think of advising and tutoring and all this out-of-class support. Well, we looked at the data, and we were not, as a country, on trajectories to meet national goals or to simply do right by the students we enroll in the social contract we make with them. You know, and it was sitting there right in front of our faces. What about the core? What about teaching and learning? Because if today's students do one thing, they drive to campus, they park, they run into class, they get back in their cars, go back to family, jobs, other responsibilities, or they log on, take the online class, and log off. So, you know, sometimes I like to call class time as show time as to when we can really make a difference. And it's a lever that's in our control, right? If we can ensure that one thing is the highest quality that it can be, it's the teaching and learning. So this movement, you know, we've been pushing sometimes up a hill like Sisyphus, has been about adding quality to the higher ed agenda alongside access and affordability. I didn't tell you AQ's story. I'll get to that, but let me get you, you've got a question there.
No, I did. You, as you put that forward there, it's just good for people to hear again. It's just a nice reminder of people going, it's like, oh, wait, college professors learning to teach. What a concept. and you know, and it's like, not to really make that so light, but to realize that Jonathan AQ 10 years ago, the ability to come together and, you know, just remind people, 40,000 professors strong now, 10 years later, it sounds to me like the movement has begun.
Well, thank you. And you saw a great example of it just last week or so at the National Higher Education Teaching Conference, which, you know, I just thought was motivating and dynamite. When we decided, and the we, I, you know, blessed by very mission-aligned investors. We're a company, and thank goodness we're a company, because in for a penny, in for a pound, we have not had to, you know, sort of navigate the ups and downs of philanthropy. Mission-aligned investors and advisors like Eduardo Padron, who led Miami-Dade College, the College of Democracy is its nickname, for decades. Matt Goldstein, who ran the CUNY system, also another big driver of socioeconomic mobility. We said, look, we've got to do it differently. There have been past attempts to strengthen quality teaching. So here's how we did it differently. First, we defined standards. Tim and Johnny, higher ed, before we did it, had never said, this is what every professor needs to know and be able to do to teach well.
Yeah.
So we did it. I mean, we worked with everybody, the experts, a huge lit review to settle on what we call the effective practice framework. You know, 10 years ago, you could say, well, I don't know. Is this the right set of competencies? But now, 500 institutions and 40,000 professors can't be wrong. They're saying, yeah, this is what I need to know and be able to do.
Well, and so putting those numbers like that and say in 10 years, it really is you're building a movement. And it's even to begin with and say, wait a minute, there were no set standards. So let's give, you know, so chemistry, if you took that, you know, first or second year chem in college and you went, well, what do you mean there weren't any standards for how my professor taught chemistry? Yeah, there weren't. There were, quote, textbooks and things, right, Jonathan?
Well, that's right. Now, we could have stopped there and just put that out into the world and said, this is what, you know, good practice looks like. But we knew that wouldn't make change as fast as we wanted. So we did two more key things. First, we have built and now have a broad catalog of courses for faculty to take to develop those skills. These are like the very best methods courses you'd find at the very best ed schools, but this is for professors.
Right.
And third, it leads to a certification. So this means it's getting into promotion and tenure portfolios. It's getting into rehire consideration if you're an adjunct faculty. We're seeing in some places it's getting into collective bargaining, where you've got to do continuing ed, and this certification counts toward that rehiring. Last example, we've seen at a flagship out west, the provost writing certification into job offer letters to make sure the teaching is good.
So in other words, the provost, and for people who are thinking, what provost? Well, the principal at a college who is putting in to hiring the next teacher, the next professor, you're saying is they're going to require some form of certification with AQ? Okay. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And it so blows our mind coming from our careers or first careers in K-12, where of course you got to be certified. Of course you have to have your training. It's a brave new world in higher ed.
Yeah. And as you said though, too, Jonathan, yeah, in K-12 and continuing, right? It's like, oh, I got to continue to get professional development. I got to continue to get professional development. Well, that's what we're talking about here. In a sense, people going, AQ, I don't get it. No, professional development through courses, through connections that faculty across the country, across the world, actually, can get together and learn to be better teachers. Our guest, Jonathan Gurko, AQ, 855-752-4842. Man, we got all kind of more questions coming back. Jonathan, though, we're going to think about this. How do we prepare people for democracy, though, and how does good teaching contribute to that? More when we get back. We always do that. We talk about our generations, lots of generations. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, number 855-752-4842. Our guest, return guest, Jonathan Gurko, talking about the Association for College and University Educators. Yes, there is one of those out there. And before we get into more of the conversation with Jonathan, we've got Joanne on the line. Joanne from Madison. What's happening, Joanne?
Great show. I've got an academic freedom question. Say I'd be taking your certification classes and all of that, or your studying your approaches, and I'd say, hey, that's not for me. I'd like to go a different direction in my teaching. How will your organization help me to fulfill my dream, my goals, my insights and all of that, while keeping it within the boundaries of good practice in terms of teaching? What type of process would go on?
Joanne, great to hear your voice again. Thanks for calling last time too, and I love your question. So we have stayed now in the safe harbor of how to teach, not what to teach, at a very foundational grain size. Meaning, regardless of your philosophical or theoretical orientation in your discipline, this is going to help you teach it better. Now, I recognize the more sophisticated the pedagogy, pedagogical content knowledge, theoretical points of view in pedagogy, it gets tricky to stay in that safe harbor, which is why we've stayed at the foundational level. And so far, so good. We maintain a 95% rate of satisfaction and faculty recommending this to peers and finding it relevant and helpful. I mean, I think the only time 95% of faculty agree on something is when it's a vote of no confidence for their president.
That's true. So true.
So,
no, I love this. Hey, Jonathan, Johnny, go. Sorry. Can I ask a follow-up to the question Joanne asked? Because I loved hearing this. Jonathan, you talked about the way that teaching gets sophisticated, right? As like the content knowledge gets deeper or maybe more expert level. You know, we learn a lot about like mentoring at that level and different things. So yeah, I was wondering, could you just break that down for our listener a little bit more? When you talk about staying at the level of like a grain of sand, right? Where, like, break that down. What do you like? Do you mean entry level courses, or do you mean like, let's start with the basics of how you can improve your teaching and then connecting it to, we know you have an expert content level knowledge. Here's how you can teach that better. Do you mean a grain of the content, or of like where you're at with your teaching?
It's the grain size of technique, Johnny, the latter. So, more often than I wish, faculty have shared, I never thought about preparing a hierarchy of questions, Bloom's taxonomy. Yeah. I never thought about limiting my own speech and facilitating student-to-student interaction. Think, pair, share, gosh, I wish that was widely known, is kind of a breakthrough for some professors. So, you know, and look, it proves our core insight that if we were never taught how to teach, why would we expect to know these things? Now, our foundational courses are at that grain size of technique. We continue the education with specialty and deeper dives into how to foster a culture of belonging, how to teach with AI, how to embed career guidance and relevance into your course, no matter your subject. And look, I know a big concern of civic media and this show, Democracy, I'm thrilled to share that we just received a major grant from the Arthur Vining Davis Foundation to build modules for faculty on how to promote deliberative dialogue, how to get us talking again in class, not indoctrinating. I don't think a lot of indoctrination goes on. I think that's a talking point.
Right.
But what are the technical skills to facilitate deliberative dialogue? And we'll be coming out with that later this year.
When you think about deliberative dialogue, makes me think, though, guess what? Presidential debate coming up Thursday, June 27th. Stay tuned to your local civic media station following Busted Pencils that night for the presidential debate. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and host Todd Albaugh will bring you the top-tier coverage of this critical performance for democracy. And I put that in there right now, Jonathan, because you kind of gave us a nice lead in there. Deliberative dialogue and democracy. I'm wondering if this, Johnny, could be the potential where we might have this time to talk very specifically about democracy in action. Wait, that sounds like a class is in session.
Exactly. As true as the bell rings, right? I think you nailed it, Tim and Jonathan. Wow, what an awesome contribution and opportunity to be an example of democracy in action, right? It's like we talk all the time about the connection between public education and democratic citizenship and the strength of democracy. But I think this is one of those moments that this is bringing it together. Deliberative conversation and learning. Like, that doesn't mean indoctrination. That doesn't mean, hey, I have all the answers. I'm going to tell them to you. You're going to remember them and you're going to apply them. We know that by and large doesn't really work at any level of education. So, and I love that. I love that because, you know, we surveyed so many college students over the past few years, specifically around that talking point around how do you feel about like sometimes controversial political topics in your courses taught. Do you feel like it's too liberal? Do you feel like it's too conservative? Do you feel like, you know, it's one way or the other? And by and large, both students that identify as liberal or identified as conservative in pretty comparative numbers, both said they just kind of don't engage and they don't feel like there's an open space to have much discussion or to disagree with one another. And that was a little bit interesting because, you know, oftentimes on one side, we seem to think, you know, well, there's no space, like I'm not heard or I'm not listened to. But what we learned was, by and large, is like students are just kind of feeling like the course or the classes that they're in aren't designed in a way to have much deliberation, to have much healthy disagreement, to actually learn. And that was a big aha, because a lot of the peer groups I'm in would say, you know, well, we have a lot of conservative students, or, you know, sometimes conservative students I talk to, you know, they would assume, oh, we have a lot of liberal professors. And we fell into that polarization, when the reality was nobody was really discussing much. It wasn't open-ended and it wasn't opportunity. So I love hearing that, because yeah. We know even some great teachers struggle with facilitating deliberative learning conversation. Yeah. Jonathan, can you break that down a little bit? Like, what do you mean by deliberation?
Yeah, well, look, it is so understandable and so human nature. If you're going to get canceled by a peer, like, it's not worth it. I'm just not going to talk. Yep. If I'm going to risk tenure, you know, if I'm going to be on, you know, some kind of watch list, I'm just not going to go there.
Mm. Yeah.
So part of the response is actually developing the skills to be able to facilitate, to create the spaces. You know, it's like John Dewey said, it's our job to help people learn how to think, not what to think. Well, how to think is a question of technique. Mm-hmm. How to teach mm-hmm. in ways, whether it's foundational, like asking more open-ended questions and facilitating dialogue, or going deeper into the norms of discourse such that we can go into the hotter topics. Again, I think this is where AQ is making a really unique contribution to educated citizenry. And let's not forget, yes, we go to college to advance our material well-being, to get a better job. Mm-hmm. Employers have been consistent for years. They want employees who can think, mm-hmm. who can deliberate, who can collaborate, problem solve, who can handle difficult situations. So the same deliberative skills that we need for an educated citizenry, employers want. Mm-hmm. So let's go to it. The way an institution can do it is by checking out our website, aq.org, about how to develop a strategic partnership to really make sure there's excellence in every single class on campus. I don't know how morally, ethically, we could commit to anything less. Mm-hmm. And an individual can go to that website and start taking certification courses right away.
I'll talk about that. You know, teaching with AI, Jonathan, I'm a satisfied customer too on that. Yeah. I did. There you go. I did the foundational teaching, you know, teaching and learning with the artificial intelligence through AQ. And I feel like I am a good teacher and I know a lot, but I'm telling you, I went through that course and my ability to come out of this and really say, boy, I think I really have some better ideas and some techniques and some ways to talk about teaching and learning with AI that I hadn't even thought about.
And that's been one of the most satisfying components of this work. We've looked at our years of data, faculty by faculty demographic, new, long tenured, by discipline, by you name it. And to the last one, faculty are saying, I learned something. And as you'd expect, new professors learn a lot, but seasoned professors also report, I'm learning, I'm deepening my craft, I'm reaching students in ways I've never reached them before. How cool is that?
It is absolutely cool on that. It's a, yeah. Numbers 855-752-4842. Wanted to throw that out there if you want to join us and talk with our guest, Jonathan Gurko, co-founder and president of the Association of College and University Educators. That's AQ, the acronym. You know, a little democracy in action there, talking about that. And Jonathan, you know, coming up on the break in a little bit here, but we're, you know, you're always our special guest. We're keeping you over anyway, so we can continue to talk, because the concept too, this democracy and deliberation, as we are coming up on the debate and we're talking about, so Johnny says, you know, students don't even necessarily feel potentially invited to the conversation of dialogue. The other part of that I also see, though, too, is that kind of, you know, incredibly hardcore rhetoric of saying this is my position and I'm sticking to it, which the whole idea of like deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument. It's having a dialogue, a discussion, a give and take, a back and forth. And I'm wondering, boy, doesn't our society and our democracy really need a refresher in that right now?
Well, you're really speaking to my heart. You know, I've of late been reading a lot of philosophical pragmatism, you know, and it's and a lot of it is about how do we keep the democratic conversation going instead of how do we win and end the conversation? How do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow, in Richard Rorty's words, the community of unforced agreement. Isn't that a beautiful expression? Mm. By consent, growing that community. To me, that's the democratic project.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, if you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, if you're on YouTube, you're like, Johnny's in his car. He is. That's the dedication that we bring to the show. The Association of College and University Educators, our guest, Jonathan Gurko, staying with us over the next break, too, because we've got a little bit more to talk about. So very specifically, Jonathan, I want to ask you about the effective teaching framework that AQ has. More effective teaching in college? Yeah, Busted Pencils. That's what we do here every night. And in fact, we're going to do it when we get back. Boy, that was the theme song of all three of us, I think. Busted Pencils, Educated Educators, Teenage Anarchists, Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker, and Jonathan Gurko, the Association of College and University Educators, AQ. Got you laughing there a little bit, Jonathan, on that. You weren't a teenage anarchist. Okay. Well, Johnny and I will hold that title. We'll keep working around with it. We're doing that. So, Jonathan, you know, here we go.
It's coming
Couldn't get enough Encore. Of it. Yeah, couldn't get enough of it. You know, we're talking so much great going on with AQ, the whole idea of elevating college teaching to a movement to say we've got a lot of, you know, people out there we can serve so well. When you put this together, though, too, there's AQ's effective teaching practice framework, and you talk about student persistence and retention in higher education. And I think those are so key to talking about the kind of anger and distrust towards higher education. If students just persisted longer and graduated more often, and the connection to then AQ's effective teaching practice framework, how does that all work together?
Yeah, so the framework itself is 25 core competencies, is steeped in the literature, backed by hundreds of citations and a decades-long scholarship of teaching and learning literature. So we know these are the right practices to help professors develop. We have also spent years studying our own impact. What is the impact of AQ-certified professors? It's one thing to rest on the existing literature. It's another to be able to point to it ourselves. And guess what? Great teaching works. We have rigorous longitudinal studies showing deeper learning, better grades, higher rates of course completion, fewer D and F grades and withdrawals, higher retention into subsequent semesters. And as soon as you got a retention figure, what we've done is be able to compute conservative return on investment. So invest in your professors, invest in teaching, and guess what? It advances your mission, teaching and learning. It's also good for your economics of your institution. But here's the rub, guys. It can't all be on the professors. If you're listening and you're a professor, it's got to be an administrator, a provost, a vice president of faculty affairs who says, this has to be a strategic initiative, A, because it's the right thing to do, B, because we're going to see all of these good benefits as confirmed in the research, meta-analyses we've done of all of our research. And so, like you saw last week, Tim, at the conference, this is about activating champions who have agency to voice the need for this with their department chair, their dean, to make the formal time for it, to reward it, to recognize it. Otherwise, we're still in that situation of, I want to do this, I should do this, but everything is pulling me in the direction of research. That's not going to be transformative, which is why administrators are so key to growing this issue.
Well, yeah. Jonathan, I mean, think about
question.
Yeah, Johnny, go. You know,
yeah, man, I'm interested in this. I mean, I'm a, you know, professor, and even with being an educator myself, you know, there's always improvement, especially looking at, you know, how millennials and Zers, you know, learn, and it's different even than we had in the past, you know, engagement from our students. And so being a learner that leads learners is always a good thing. Nuts and bolts, Jonathan. So like what kind of, how much, like if I talk to my peers or even myself, how much time and what, like what's the process here for us to think?
So there's like, different,
there's in this learning?
Different pathways. If you want to take a nibble, if you want to get certified, if you want to take your time, there are the self-paced courses, what we call short courses, like Tim took on AI. You can begin an 8-week experience. Those 8-week experiences stack up to full certification. We have some provosts and presidents enrolling their faculty in year-long certification courses. What you can do, Johnny, is help decrease the fear of faculty. A lot of presidents and provosts are afraid to touch this as some third rail, but guess what? Professors want to be better teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's just bust that myth here on Busted Pencils and start getting professors the support they want that, guess what, works really well for students.
Yeah, that's awesome, Jonathan. I love it, man. You know what else, Tim, I love? And we'll get back to this because, Jonathan, I want to be able to have our listeners have an opportunity to know, again, where they can find this information, because I know I'm interested, but I have a direct line to you and our listeners. You got a direct line to Jonathan, too. You can either contact us at Busted Pencils. You can call in, or you can go to the ACU website.
www.acue.org. A-C-U-E.org. That's where it all
starts. You know
what?
This isn't even like a planned infomercial. This is educated educators here thinking like, you know, my wheels are spinning. I'm like, man, there's always room to be a better teacher, right? And so where can I learn to be a better teacher? And, you know, I can go to ACU, and that's really great. I can also go grab a beer at Monocle Brewing Company if I'm in Madison. Or if I'm not in Madison, I can visit, you know, progressivebeer.com and get a Monocle Brew. I can order it delivered to me unless I live in Idaho. But, you know, there's a way that you could connect with great beer. There's a way you can connect with great learning. There's a way you can tune in every night. Listen to us on Busted Pencils. Join the conversation. You can give us a call, 855-752-4842, and be part of, like Jonathan said, Busting Pencils and busting those myths.
It's, you know, we're building the movement, Jonathan. Man, appreciate you coming in. And truly, yeah, Busting Pencils, as you said, building the movement. AQ, what's that? Just give that web address one more time.
Sure. It's www.acue, which is the acronym for Association of College and University Educators, acue.org. And there's all different ways to start there. If you're looking as an institutional leader wanting to make an institutional partnership, or an individual wanting to get started.
Mm. There it is. Great guest, great conversation. Jonathan Gurko, man, truly. Thanks for busting pencils again. Johnny and Tim, tomorrow night, Educators Amplified. Yeah, we'll be back, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna. Everybody else, have a good night. See you all tomorrow.